are back live at Dalton's Donuts now. And I'm Tom Rowe, and I'm here with Tony Fallon.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
And we've already got a special guest here. Unc Slater is joining us.
But I've been listening to the weather forecast. I'm happy we're inside. A lot of rain for the weekend.
Yes, it is.
How are you doing, Unc?
I'm good.
How's everything in Cairo?
Pretty good, far as I know, anyway.
How's the store been?
Justin's store's been pretty busy. It's a lot busier than
your son Justin runs Dalton's Donuts?
Yeah, he owns the whole shop, the whole convenience store.
And he's got local people making muffins, or he's making the muffins, or the bagels and the donuts?
We make everything here except for the bagels. And the bagels come from Lots of Bagels in Saugerties, which is, if anybody's had those, knows they're excellent bagel. And you can't do better than that, so there's no sense in us trying to do that.
And what else? What tell everybody what you've got here. Muffins. I've got a muffin over here I'm about to bite into.
Oh, the muffins are good. They're nice and moist. We got muffins. We got all kinds of donuts that we make fresh here every day ourselves. And they actually have real ingredients and real filling in there. The filling actually saw berries in them, not just cornstarch and sugar and food coloring. And egg sandwiches. Everybody's going nuts about the egg sandwiches. We have bacon, sausage, egg.
Egg sandwich sounds like a good idea. I might have one.
Yeah, well, I have another one here every morning.
You've got the new Irish coffee?
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize there's so many different teas there.
Oh,
and I've been drinking, who is it, Gray or whoever it is who makes English tea, and I think I've just sworn off with now because they have Irish tea here. I can't be drinking English tea if they got Irish tea here, you know?
He got the Irish tea, he knew you were coming, Tony.
Got it in this morning? I never heard of Harney before, but I'm drinking the tea now and it tastes pretty good. And of course, it's black tea. It says steep it for 5 minutes. In Ireland, that's how we made the tea in Ireland, with the teapot. We didn't use tea bags.
Right.
You poured 2 or 3 spoonfuls into the teapot and you let it sit for 5 or 6 minutes, and by then it was as black as coffee.
You know,
you certainly didn't see the sugar in the bottom of the cup. Let's say that. So. Yeah. There was a great joke in Ireland about the woman who was very cheap, and when she had the farmers in doing work for her, she gave them tea, and she actually put the sugar in the tea for them. So she said to this old farmer, she said, "Did I give you sugar?" And he said, "Indeed you did. I see it in the bottom of the cup." So the tea was weak too.
Okay. So, and we also have fair trade organic coffee. And any size is just 99 cents. It's really good coffee. It's not bitter and it's not acidic. It's really good.
My wife has been telling me how good it is. I don't drink coffee, but I heard raves about the coffee.
I like good coffee. It's good coffee.
Well, I don't drink
a lot of coffee. I know that.
I don't drink coffee either, so I'll be strictly with the tea.
And it's also locally roasted just for us. It's a blend they came up with. Excuse me. It's a blend he came up with. We tested it here with our customers for quite 30 different kinds of coffee before they came up with that blend that everybody liked.
Well, another reason that we're here today is we're raising money for radio station WGXE. So we want to tell the people that when they come in, we have a bottle here where we've actually gotten some money out already.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be able to shake it that easy, though.
I know. Hopefully, by the time we leave today, we won't be able to lift it.
That's right.
Anybody who's around and has not donated to radio station WGXE in the 6 years, 6.5 years we've been on the air, we could do it a few cents, dollars, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, whatever you have. Every little helps. Any donation to radio station WGXE is helpful. Tom is better able to tell you how many expenses there are involved with running the radio station, because I'm sure he's the one who signs many of the checks as they go out.
not me, yeah.
But he's aware of it. And we raised, how much money we raised? About 70,000 last year in the community over the whole year, Tom?
That's probably around right.
Yeah,
it costs a lot to keep the electricity on at the big tower up in, it's in Cairo, up on 67. But it's a lot of money to get the 3,300 watts out to radio listeners everywhere.
Right. And then, of course, there's 3 studios now. Well, I think only 2 we have to pay electricity on, right?
We're also in the Catskill Library.
Right.
Catskill Library, Hudson Studio, and we're over in Acre on Route 23. And then we've got this mobile kit that allows us to come to places like Dalton's Donuts this morning.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, there's programming on 168 hours a week on radio station WGXE. And a lot of community people running the radio station, running programming on, like myself. I'm here in Cairo, and I do the Irish program every Sunday night from 8 to 10, live from the ECRA studio most of the time. And I fill in on some of the other programs when they're short of people. Like last winter, I did the morning show for about 6 months. And frequently, I do the Friday evening rock and roll party or whatever it is.
Guest DJ spots on Friday evening. Yeah, you take over sometimes and don't play Irish music, play other music.
Oh, well, I was a DJ down in New York for 30 years, so it wasn't all Irish music. It was a little rap and reggae and rock and roll and all that, too. So
you're
going to
do your reggae set later?
Yeah.
And we're here with Unc Slater, too, from Slater Smart Shop. Is it still called Slater's?
Slater Smart Stop.
And
Dalton Donuts. Dalton
is inside, just like Subway is inside.
Right. And we have an ice cream shop there as well.
When we came in here, there wasn't many people, which I was very surprised with. And now they're coming in. I don't know, is it because we're here or because they got a late start in the morning?
No, but that's about the way it is every day. It starts about now.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Well, Kara wakes up at 9.
Well, they probably wake up a little bit early, but they get out here about
that. Out at 9.
Yeah, they get out here about that.
We also were expecting a few people would come in with guitars or something and play for us or sing or tell us some jokes or something. And I know that we have another of the WGXC programmers over here keeping an eye on us on his computer. Maybe he'll come in and talk to us later.
Yes. And Unc, how do you think Cairo is changing these days? You've seen things come and go here.
Well, it's been tough in Cairo. Everybody knows that. Since the resort industry is pretty much gone away, and there's still some good resorts left in Cairo, and they work really hard at it. We got some really nice ones, but I think it's going to improve. It's our main street is needs some improvement. It's hard, but there's a new group formed, the Cairo Foundation, Community Foundation, that's trying to work on that and come up with some ideas, and I think more and more people are trying to push that ball and get it rolling, and hopefully it'll pick up some speed and keep rolling.
Is it, as a business person, is there anything you would hope would happen that would help spark business in the city?
Well, I think we need to get more than just one business. It's like Main Street, you have to have a destination to go there, and it's pretty scary for one business to go there alone. I think we have to make a concerted effort to maybe have a grand reopening of our Main Street and get at least four or five businesses together at one time and try to help them along to make sure they're going to be successful. So there's a reason to go there than just one business, unless you can get a strong destination business, but Carroll's population a little bit small for that. So but I think the independent people got to do it, but you got to all come together to work at it to do it, and that's what they're starting to do. I think they're realizing they've got to all work together to push that wagon. It's a hard wagon to push, but I think there's enough people come together, they can get it pushing and get it going.
Well, what I find amazing about Cairo is the size of it is very small. I mean, it's a really small town, in comparison even with Catskill. But I think there's probably as many banks in Cairo as there is in Catskill. So it doesn't make sense. Is it just that we have a lot of rich people living
there? There's obviously
got to
be a lot of money in Cairo.
Who have money, because there's no business we're talking about.
I think there's also as many tanning salons as there are banks, too, aren't there? Or there used to be.
That's disturbing, too, if you can, because you'd get burned there, right?
Well, there's a lot of potential in Cairo. I mean, it's not a huge population. We're going to be getting huge super centers and things like that. But it's pretty unique. It's a beautiful place. I mean, anybody who drives through Cairo and see the mountains in the backdrop, and it's an awesome place, and it's still rural, and it's the people are nice. There's a lot of potential, and there's not a lot of competition.
Yeah.
But there are enough people to support some small businesses, and that's what I'd like to see happen as well, is just small businesses making a small, quaint, nice community. But instead, everybody's got to work together to do that.
Coming from 23 and 23B meet, starting at Stewart's, and coming all the way into town, we have CVS, we have a couple of dollar stores, three banks, we have a big supermarket, and yet the small businesses are not there. You see restaurants opening, they go out of business. See a delicatessen opening, going out of business. There was a restaurant down here. It was a bank down here. What happened? Did that bank move away? Where the other donut place is now?
Used to be the Bank of Green County.
They built a new
bank. So they didn't leave town. But the small businesses just don't seem to make it.
Well, it's not just Carroll. Small businesses are really tough in America because everybody thinks bigger is better, and they say they want to. They can't buy clothing in Carroll, but if someone put a clothing shop in Carroll, they really wouldn't buy it here anyway because they're all going to run off to the mall and they want, if it doesn't say Abercrombie Finch or Victoria's Secret on it, they don't want it. And you're not going to get that in Carroll.
Yeah.
But I think that mentality is changing. More and more people are understanding the value of a local business. The local businesses are what keeps your economy going in your small towns.
Well, there's a huge campaign on maybe not huge, but certainly it's there on Facebook, where they're saying about when you buy at the local guy, he buys a tricycle for his daughter or fixes her teeth or whatever. And when you buy it at the big company, the CEO goes out and buys another home or a boat or his third car or whatever. So, and they don't realize that also that when you leave town and go to another county, let's say, and you spend the money, whatever sales tax you pay there, you can kiss it goodbye. However, if you spend it in your own county, half of it comes back and it helps with your real estate taxes. And I think maybe if local people were educated at this point, they might be a little more inclined to spend the money in their own county. I know it sounds like thinking inward, but you're also helping the community and helping yourself.
Right. That's, believe me, local businesses is what keeps the money circulating in your town.
Yeah.
Like when I had my grocery store, if I had something break down, I didn't have a maintenance company that came from way the other side of the state. I had somebody locally that come and fixed it. Yeah. I bought my insurance locally.
Yeah.
All my advertising was not a national account. I did my advertising with a local radio station, one-on-one. The money stayed right here.
Yeah.
All those things add up.
Yeah. Well, not only that, and I'm saying this because, not because you're here, but I notice that you always come down to my store buying things when your refrigerator breaks down or whatever, and that's appreciated, you know?
I said, being a small business guy myself, I try to support,
right,
do all the local business I can.
Yeah.
I do go outside of town if something you can't find, you obviously have to, but I always try to do the local first if I can.
Right, right. And I know that they had meetings going on forever in the town about all the new things they were going to do, and unfortunately, I haven't seen any of it.
Now, well, they had a zoning plan, and I know that zoning has been a contentious subject in Carroll, and I personally thought it was a little bit overbearing, the 160-some page zoning law that we had. They just redid that, and I have not seen it personally, so I can't tell you what's in it. But I know it's a lot smaller. I think it's supposed to be a lot more manageable and a lot more business friendly, hopefully.
Oh, well, that would be.
Yeah, small businesses just can't. It's tough enough to get a small business going. You can't have the zoning law or any kind of laws and regulations that's going to cost them more money to get going.
Right. We've
got to be helping them and not hindering them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the sewer got fixed, so that's helped. That's making it easier for businesses to move here, I guess?
Yeah, well, as from years ago, yes. I mean, there still are some issues, but it's, yes, much improved. And as far as business-wise, we've had no problems with our sewer series working fine.
And of course, with the other thing that from my point of view, I've been coming to Cairo for 55 years. I was here the first year after I came here. And I noticed that practically, where I don't know whether I'm downtown or uptown. I think it's downtown. Because uptown, in this area here, where 32, 23, and 23B generally meet each other, I would say, from where I'm coming from, that 10, 20 years from now, where I am, downtown, will be finished. And that all the business will be up here.
Well, this is obviously the more busy end of town because of the intersection. There's just more traffic, and businesses need traffic. And as I said, we have to have a reason to go downtown. I know there was talk about taking the post office off Main Street once, and that'd just be suicide. I mean, you definitely want the post office on Main Street. That's at least one definite reason to get downtown. You have the Cozy Cup, you know, people going to stop and get a cup of coffee on the way to the post office or whatever. You need some kind of a draw, and you definitely want to keep that there.
Oh, definitely. I don't want to hear about that happening, that it would close. And some of the other stores that were in that area before, I'd like to see them opening again. But, you know, actually stores, because I don't think, and while it's a business, the tanning business and that doesn't really help that much, as far as I'm concerned, you know. They come and they spend an hour there or whatever, you know, where.
Yeah, but it's all about traffic.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for any business, you, if you're going to open up a new business, your first thing you're going to do is do a traffic count and see what the traffic is going by your door.
Yeah, well, you couldn't count them down there because they're going too fast. Speed limit is 30, and I don't think too many people believe in it. As I said on Facebook yesterday as well, apparently the people in Cairo believe that driving through town at night on low beams is a moving violation. On low beams. Okay. It's incredible. You're coming down, going down the hill, and there's 20 cars coming up, and they all got high beams on, you know. You have to flash them to remind them that they're in town and they need low beams, you know.
Yeah, but the fact there's 20 cars is good.
Yeah, well, I exaggerated. I exaggerated the 20 cars a little bit.
I know you did, Tom.
That was in a whole hour.
Well, we've been chatting. I have been taking a bite into this. It's a three-berry muffin. It is very fresh and good. I recommend the muffins at Dalton's Donuts.
All right, that's good.
So we again remind you we're here raising money for radio station WGXC. And if you listen to the regular programming on every day and night, including my program on Sunday night, you'll hear us begging. I call it begging for dollars, but we'll beg for a quarter even.
Let's let Unc go before when we start this pledge. But thank you for
okay. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you and have a good day.
And send your son over.
Okay.
Or is he busy baking? Is he busy making dough?
I'm not sure where he is at the moment, but I'm sure he's busy. I'm not that much I know.
Okay. Thank you.
And you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. Oh, look at that!
Oh my God!
Thank you there.
If we put that in the bottle, somebody will break the bottle.
That's right. We just got a little donation there from Monks Later after the interview there, too. So you can come
by in
person. Thank you so much. Come by in person and make a donation or go on the radio and WGXC.org/donate or 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400 is the number to call.
Okay. And if we could get a few more interviews like that, would be awesome.
That's right.
But we are here. Are we still on the air, Tom? We're still on? Tom is showing you that we have a couple of second delay on the broadcast. Are we on the internet today?
We're on the internet. We're on the airwaves. We're on the everything.
Well, I'd like to say hello to all my friends out there. I know I have loyal listeners, or at least I think I do. And if we do, we'll probably have people listening to us over in Ireland. So good morning over... Well, it's afternoon now. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon over there or thereabouts.
What's coming up Sunday night on the Irish show on WGXC at 8 p.m. Sunday night?
Well, I always have the sports results from Ireland. And in Ireland at the moment, it's getting exciting in the All-Ireland Championships in that Roscommon is playing on Sunday. Some of you may not appreciate that joke. But I'm from Roscommon, and we've had great hopes for the past, I think about 70 years.
You're the New York Jets of Ireland?
Yeah. we had great hopes for over 70 years that we will win another All-Ireland, and this year we're hoping it'll happen. But we have not been encouraged so far by the display of the team in the league, and they have their first game on Sunday, so we'll be watching it anxiously to see if they can win the first game, and the next game will then be the county final. For any of you who are not familiar with it, the Gaelic games are football and hurling, and no matter how far away you are from Ireland, how many years you've been gone, you still follow every year. We follow the football and the hurling in Ireland, and on my radio program on Sunday night, a lot of people listen in just to hear the results. Now, some of them are ardent followers of teams over there, and they want to know whether the team won or not. But a lot of my Irish-American friends like listening in, and they'll say, oh, that's where my mother came from, or that's where my grandfather came from, and they won today. Our team won over in Ireland. So some of the Irish-Americans over here who never lived in Ireland, never went to Ireland, never visited Ireland, have a favorite team over there because their mother or grandmother or whatever came from it. And they like hearing whether the team won or not when they're playing. Because I have plenty of music. I have records that I accumulated since the 60s, since when I came over here, and I've been on the radio since 1978. So you can well imagine all the records that have been given to me over the years, CDs, cassettes, tapes. I was on radio when we were using reel-to-reel and when we were using carts, and I'm sure many people have no idea what I'm talking about when I talk about carts, but that's how long I've been on radio, and that's how long I've been accumulating Irish records. I have every record you can imagine, and I still play the records, and some of them are scratchy and so on. I heard somebody last night on radio station WGXC telling them that he had the scratchy records that he's been playing forever, and I well understand it. Every so often, some people give me records that they've had for years and years, and some of them are copies of the ones that I have, and I'm delighted when that happens because they have not played them as much as I do, so the quality is better than mine. So sometimes I resign them, or retire them, I think is the better word, and put on a new one. I was in CVS parking lot here in Cairo last Sunday getting into my car, and this woman came across the parking lot to me, and she says, would you be interested in Irish records? And I said, of course I would. So she and her husband took me up to Greenville, and they gave me about 50 records, which some of which date back to the 60s and maybe even some of them before, such as the McNulty family and Carmel Quinn and numerous other people. So I was delighted to get some of them because the McNulty family came from the same place in Ireland as I did, and I had maybe three of their records, and now I have six of their records, which I didn't know even existed. So anybody out there who has records, especially if they're Irish, I'm interested in them. I like country music too, but I think I have every country music album that was ever put out as well. But if you have Irish records, or you know of anybody who has Irish records, tapes or CDs that they're getting rid of, or they're selling their house and dumping them in some cases, I'm desperately interested. So does that answer your question, Tom?
I think so. And we're reminding people we're live from Dalton's Donuts in downtown Cairo until 11 a.m. So stop on by. You can. We've got open mics here. It's two open seats right now if you want to come in. Chat live on the radio, and it's also during our pledge drive right now, so we're asking people to call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate, and we do have some thank yous of some people who have called in. There's an anonymous pledge. We want to thank our anonymous caller who called 518-697-7400. Want to thank Cam Bellamy of Hudson. I want to thank Debbie Meyer of Hudson. I want to thank Mary Vaughn of Massachusetts for calling 518-697-7400. Lisa and Don Dolan of Hudson called 518-697-7400. Those are just some of the recent thank yous we want to give. And again, you can call 518-697-7400 to make your pledge or go online to wgxc.org/donate.
Yeah, and I also want to thank two of my ardent listeners, Dennis and Kathleen Meehan. Now, Dennis and Kathleen, as regards radio station WGXE, go back a long, long way. Before radio station WGXE went on the air, they donated to the cause. So they've been great supporters of radio station WGXE from the very beginning, for before we even went on the air. They made a donation not even knowing if the station would ever get on the air when they made a donation to it. And they're still donating. So thank you, Kathleen and Dennis. And I've known Dennis and Kathleen for God knows how long, almost since I came here. I used to play football with, well, I use the word play very liberally there. I was a member of the Good Shepherd Football Club down in Inwood, New York. And we all used to play on Saturdays in the park, and Dennis was more an administrator. He was probably chairman of the club or something. He was definitely involved in the running of it, and I've known them all that time, and I think he even organized bus rides to the Catskills or to Massachusetts or somewhere when I was playing as well. So I remember him fondly from those many years, and he's from Clare in Ireland, and very good men to have involved with any fundraiser or organization that you're having. So thank you again. And as they would say, up Clare. And of course, Mr. Slater here gave us a nice donation as well. So if you're here and you are listening to us and you want to throw anything into this battle that we have here. It can be as small as a nickel, dime, penny, or whatever it is. Everything helps. Every penny collected at Radio City, it's still not, you know, we need to change this big bill here into pennies to make noise, or into quarters, or even dollar, silver dollars. Also remind you, if you're listening and you know somebody who might be interested in listening to radio station WGXC, we are on the internet at www.wgxc.org or www.wavefarm.org. And they can listen to this program and any other, many other programs on radio station WGXC. Are we always on the internet?
We're always on the internet.
With something.
Something.
Yeah.
There's actually five different streams on the internet you can listen to. The regular Wavefarm, WGXC stream, you can listen to Wavefarm radio. You can listen to the sounds of the microphones at the bottom of the Wavefarm pond. We'll call that up in a minute. We can listen to the weather warlock that changes the sounds of the temperature at Wavefarm. And I think there's another one, too. There's all kinds of things to listen to.
I haven't done that. What exactly is the weather one? What does it do? I know it's there on the table when I'm broadcasting, and I look at it and I wonder what it is, because when I'm broadcasting, there's nobody there but myself and whatever insects or mice or whatever are there.
Well, first, this is the sound at the bottom of the pond there. Can you hear that? It's hard to hear with the conversation going on in the... And then the weather warlock is... That. And that's mapping the scent, the change in the temperature, the change in the light, the change in the wind, and the change in the precipitation. So it's going to get all crazy now that the rain is starting. It's supposed to rain all day, I think.
Well, from what I heard on radio station WGXC, there's certainly a lot of rain in the forecast.
A lot of rain in the forecast, yes. So we were trying to stay dry here at Slater's Smart Stop with inside Dalton's Donuts. So if you like to come have a morning coffee or tea, Tony recommends the Irish tea.
Yeah, it tastes good, I'll tell you.
And you get donuts, muffins, and bagels, and all kinds of things here. Tony, would you like to read a poem? I need to use the facilities for a moment.
Okay.
Can you fill us with some poetry while...
If you're a listener of my program, you know that I write poetry, and I've been writing poetry now for 55 years, and I've had a lot of it published in Ireland and in booklets and here as well. And I'm on Facebook with my poetry. If you ever go to Facebook, my page on Facebook, it's called Tony Fallon, Poet. Usually that becomes highlighted if you put it in, so you just click it, and it'll take it immediately to my page. In the month of April, of course, is Poetry Month. So I submitted one of my poems to the Rensselaer Library National Poetry Month Poem a Day Project for 2017, and they picked it. And it was in the Poem a Day, and it appeared on April the 28th. So they just published a book, which came out last week. A booklet, I think, is better called than a book. And this is the poem which I submitted and was published, and you can read it on their internet page, which I don't remember, was probably Rensselaer Public Library.org or .com. And here is the poem. It's an Irish poem, and it's called A Sad Parting. We stood beside the fence, and I held you oh so tight. The next day I'd be in New York. This was our final night. I felt your body shaking as the tears rolled down your face. I never felt as uncomfortable as I stared out into space. I never will forget the day your family moved in next door. I was a little over five and you were a few months past four. You had all come home from England. This was to be your base. Your parents spent every penny buying your grandfather's place. All the neighbors had said that the old house was always haunted, but my mother used the holy water and made you all feel wanted. If there was a ghost there, the holy water certainly did the trick, and your family was never haunted and was very rarely sick. I was your guardian angel when you started to walk to school. I punched many noses that made fun of your accent from Blackpool. Even though you were small for your age, you were very strong, and you never took from anyone, you, whoever did you wrong. I often saw you lose a fight or lose a game, but I would be lying if I was to say that before that night anybody ever saw you crying. I knew as I held you weeping that night your love for me was true, but with no education or money, I was not worthy of you. We were always together. I thought we were the perfect pair. If you went with all who wanted you, I wouldn't have a prayer. I said I would go to America and from college would graduate, and I would come home a better man if you had agreed to wait. My heart was surely breaking as I walked towards that big plane. I almost turned back once or twice to be with you, Elaine. On the ride over to America, I made a promise to give up the beer. Later, I went over to St. John's in Queens, and I became a pioneer. All the letters and clippings you sent me for the soul were food. Many nights I came home exhausted, and they would pick up my mood. For years on nights and weekends, I went to many schools. I know how to work computers, and I can also fix them with tools. People may say, for a farmer, I may be into spelling corrections. I certainly will not like that. I will not be like that, but I'll be able to talk about elections. I hope that all those long and lonely years that we've had to sacrifice will bring us closer together and will be well worth the price. I told you that night I would be true, even from far across the sea. Well, I'm coming home tomorrow, and I hope you'll marry me. Now, that is a story that happens over and over in Ireland, where a family goes to England, stays there for 5 or 6 years, makes some money, comes back and buys the farm or inherits a farm in Ireland, and they settle down in Ireland. And then, unfortunately, if they're a big family, some of them may have to immigrate again. And that happens too, where people come to America, spend some years here and go back. So it's not a particular story that happened, but it could have happened. And I mentioned in there that I said that I went to St. John's and joined the Pioneers. The Pioneers is an organization of Irish people who never drink alcohol, and I mean never. And I'm one of them. I don't drink alcohol on my birthday, on St. Patrick's Day, New Year's Day, never. And there are many of us here in Greene County who actually are pioneers. Even though we have a reputation as a nation of being drinkers, they say that about 20% of the people in Ireland are members of this organization and never touch alcohol. So there's an interesting piece of information for you.
Jason's hovering now, too. Here we go. We got... Oh. Waiting for the... Jason, how do you say your last name?
Lane. L-A-N-G-E, yeah.
Oops.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
We are hanging out on the radio here. Jason's over in Oak Hill, is that right?
Yeah, Oak Hill.
What's going on in Oak Hill these days?
I had a new neighbor. Just move in full time, buy a house, some artists from Maine. It's kind of nice to have someone new to talk to. You know, we're missing an old member of town, this guy Mike Gallagher, who you may know, Tony, from around. He's had some health issues, and in our last music party from the record store downstairs, we made a poster that said, bring Mike Gallagher home. He's sort of a local favorite in our 200-person town. Not much, just getting ready for summer.
Now, is Mike a musician?
No, he used to have a store downtown where he collected prints from the 50s and 60s from style magazines, and when somebody wanted to do a knockoff or a runoff of a classic, you know, dress from like Chanel period, they would have to track down pictures, and he had an archive and was the main guy in New York if you wanted to reproduce old fabric prints.
I see.
For fashion.
Okay.
And then he's been buying houses up here since the 80s. So it's just another one of our random expats.
What did you say his name was?
Mike Gallagher.
I'm not sure if I know him or not. I know that...
He was definitely not a pioneer.
Okay, well...
he was on the far extreme other side of that, hence the health issues.
Yeah, I have some incredible... You know, people... When I say that to them, they're saying, oh, my God, I never even knew that existed or whatever. I was in the real estate business, and this girl rented a cottage to a bunch of people. You know, it's supposed to be 3 people, but it turned out to be 23. And they came out to the cottage for the weekend on Memorial Weekend. And eventually, by Monday morning, they had caused so much problem that they were actually forcibly removed by the police from the building, even though they had paid a substantial amount of money. And on Tuesday morning, the girl said to me, she said, there was a bunch of people that I rented the place to were Irish, and they certainly did not belong to the same organization as you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think it's easier to be more famous for being outlandish and a little wild.
Yeah, well, you've heard of Brendan Behan, of course, you know?
Brendan Behan.
Well, he was a rebel and a writer, and he wrote a play called The Borstal Boy. He was a member of the IRA as well. So during the Second World War, he was in jail in England for his activities in favor of the IRA. But in Ireland, a fact that other people may not be aware of as well is that on St. Patrick's Day, up until probably 1980 or so, all the bars were closed in Ireland. All the bars were closed on St. Patrick's
Day. Where did people go?
They went to parades, they went to church. It's a very religious holiday. But not
the drinking went from inside the bar to outside everywhere?
No, there was no drinking.
Was it homebrew?
So
St. Patrick's Day was a dry holiday.
Yes, it was a dry holiday. But in Dublin, in the Ballsbridge, the British government actually owned some property there. They owned it, and it was like an embassy or almost. And they had a dog show there on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And since they were in the English government, they were allowed to sell beer or whatever they wanted on that property during their dog show. And at 12 o'clock, they could start drinking it. So at 12 o'clock, Brendan Behan is heading in the thing, and there's a woman coming out with five dogs, you know? And they all get tangled up in the turnstile coming in, she and he and the dogs. And he said, what a terrible place to have dogs on St. Patrick's Day, as he headed for his beer.
so on some level, are they English at fault for bringing drink into St. Paddy's Day, a dry holiday?
No, the Irish gladly brought it in themselves, because they would have parties, of course, and have the alcohol at home, but they could not sell it on St. Patrick's Day.
Got it. Yeah. So you had to stock up the day before.
Well, they also had the puncheon, you know, the which they brewed up in the mountains. Moonshine, white lady.
Yeah.
Well, they call it puncheon in Ireland, and it's clear.
Yeah, the color in whiskey is a colorant. It's not natural to the process unless you really, really oak the crap out of it.
So many times, puncheon was imported to the United States. As holy water,
yeah, just like aquavit.
Yeah, so they would actually have a bottle with a cross and everything that holy water, but there was puncheon that was on the bottom. But we're here in the donut store,
Dalton's Donuts in Cairo,
and we're raising money for radio station WGXE for the.
Did we ever get to the Dunkin' Donuts, Dalton Donuts scandal?
We hinted at that before, that we were going to tell the story. Did you see the Facebook post?
I have not. I do not have Facebook, so I'm always a little behind there. And I did just search for it while I was watching you guys before I came on, and I couldn't see it.
Maybe I can find it.
I'm curious. I mean, as far as I know, and you can tell a less abridged version, but Dunkin' Donuts elected to move, and the Slaters saw an opportunity to maybe open up another business inside their cafe / gas station / pellet pickup center, and it seems like town, as we were talking about small town businesses, has jumped at the chance to support one here, and it looks like Dunkin' Donuts is kind of flagging, and so they reacted in some way to...
I cannot comment on it at all, because even though I am very active on Facebook and I run 7 pages on Facebook, I did not come across that particular and I know that Cairo have many pages on, and I didn't see it on there either.
No, yeah, yeah. I couldn't find it on the Dalton.
Seems like it's been taken down. I don't see it up down now. But there was a
the altercation that
provoked
them?
Well, I think the Dunkin' Donuts was upset because I think they claimed that people would come into here where they used to be and ask where Dunkin' Donuts is, and they wouldn't really tell them, or they'd tell them wrong or something. I think that was the accusation. And then Dalton's put soap paint, you know how you paint your car after graduation or prom.
This is Dalton's.
Dalton's did. No, Dunkin's did. Dunkin's.
Okay. Okay.
Dunkin's and then retaliated by painting, like, I think it said, friends don't let friends eat Dalton's or something. something like that.
It's never going to work here.
It lasted like probably an hour or something. It was put somebody clicked the photo on Facebook, and then there were 300 comments, and I'm sure they got a call to wash it off from the manager or
whoever. From the corporate directly. I'm sure there's somebody monitoring.
Dunkin'
that.
Donuts probably is not wanting wars with local donut shops.
No. especially not in these communities, which tend to, when, you know, I think when a business is, especially first out and there's some energy behind it, it seems like we tend to support them pretty energetically. And I hope that, I really do hope, because aren't you out in Durham or East Durham?
I beg your pardon?
Aren't you out in Durham? Are you out by me? Where do you live?
You live down the street.
I live down the street.
So you're in Cairo too.
Yeah, I live. Yeah,
I mean, it's the same situation where I live or where Tom lives. It's in Accra. We've got a couple cash registers, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Now we have two donut stores.
And one intersection, three banks.
Three banks.
You love the bank part.
Two or three tanning salons. Two donut stores.
How many pharmacies?
Two hardware.
Is it how many pharmacies? Just the CVS?
Is it just the CVS? I think it's just the CVS.
Well, I think they also have one inside in Hanover.
Oh, yeah, there's a pharmacy in the grocery store, right?
That's true. Yeah. About equal in size.
Do they have a bank? Do they have a bank inside the Hanover?
No, but you can cash payroll checks there. Really? They still provide that function like the old days.
Yeah.
Anything under 1,000.
Okay, I didn't even think of that when we started talking about banks, because many times there is a bank in a supermarket, you know. All right.
And there's some new kids' tie-dye store in Cairo. Is that on Main Street or something?
I'm not sure.
You don't know about that?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Angel's, the Mexican pizza place.
The tie-dye store, I've heard. It's a cool, it's a cool idea. Yeah, some of my neighbors have kids. So I think we're still trying. I feel like the model with, Slater's is a perfect example. This is basically four businesses inside one building. It's not even including gas.
Your ice cream, your Subway, and your coffee.
And the convenience store.
Yeah, a convenience store that does hot food.
And you can also buy the firewood or
pellets.
Fire pellets.
Yeah, that's where I get my pellets.
So there's a lot of things happening on the corner here.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's almost like his model could be copied, or maybe a smaller scale with a different group of businesses. It seems like that's the...
And we have
the way in the
main. We have
the
two convenient discount stores here as well, dollar stores,
that's true.
Family Dollar and Dollar Tree, is that the two?
Dollar General.
No, Dollar Tree.
Dollar General.
Dollar General, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting, I think, a Family Dollar out in
The milk run is getting a dollar.
No, I mean they're not associated, but it's across the street, a little above D Mills on the 145.
Yeah, so near there, yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's a half hour, 20 minutes to buy anything you can't get at the milk run or Dean Mills, which is more of like a feed and supply store. But I don't know. It's only going to employ what, 6-7 people, and it's another corporate. You know, it's another corporate company taking space where we would have hoped to have another local business. But
we were discussing it last night at a card game about how it seems like almost out in the middle of nowhere that they're opening this store. And I don't know exactly where they're doing it. But most of these corporations do not open a store out in the middle of nowhere unless they do some kind of survey about
the traffic
going by every hour, every half hour.
I mean, Cornwallville, Conesville, Preston Potter Hollow, Oak Hill, the edge of East Durham, you know, even people living below Wyndham coming down the hill. You know what I mean? Further out on the 145 towards Middleburg, it's all of them will come to that one. Otherwise, you're driving into a much larger town. You either have to come to Cairo if you're further north of East Durham, or you'd have to go all the way to Middleburg if you wanted to drive north instead of south. So, I mean, to me, living up here almost 2 years, it seems logical that they're going to make their money. And if the lowerhead's low, right? I mean, they pay minimum wage at the
best. Yeah, well, I imagine that
manager at 12.
The land that which they buy for that is very inexpensive in comparison with buying it in a town. But I'm amazed at how inexpensive land is up here. Really, if you want to buy a large piece of land and open up a business.
You come from Long Island, where? Yeah.
Oh my God! I come from Long Beach, and
I'm from Long Beach, but in California.
Yeah, so but I'm from Long Beach.
The rents are high there too, right?
Oh yeah, they're exorbitantly high.
So the building lots in Long Beach are 30 by 60. 30 by 60.
Yeah.
That's the whole lot, and there are living rooms in other towns in Long Island, which are bigger than the whole lot. But the lots, when I was in real estate on Long Island back in the 80s, those lots were selling for $180,000 for a lot, 30 by 60. I figured it out at one time. I think it was like $30 a square inch or something, you know, for sand. But of course, the ocean was half a block away from it. So when you come up here, my son, who has lived up here almost for probably heading on 30 years now, he was always saying that us people coming up here, buying land and property, were ruining it up here. Because he said,
We were
ruining it for the locals, because the lot was sold for $60,000-$70,000. He said, oh my God, that would cost me $200,000 in Long Island, when they could have, if they had bargained, they could have got over $10,000. They gladly paid $20,000 for it.
Yeah.
but it's still very inexpensive for land.
It is expensive.
In America.
Yeah, and it's I think there's an opportunity where we're not on the right side of this county to grow so fast that we end up buying all the prime real estate and business real estate, and the locals can't stay involved. I think it will stay inexpensive, and the growth will be steady but slow. And I think that's the perfect blend, because it'll almost look like gentrification, like what's happening in Ulster and up in Hunter, because it's happening so fast.
Well, this area in I'm here 55 years. In the 55 years that I've been here, this area has gone way down.
Yeah.
East Durham, for instance, at one time, I believe, there were 14 bars in East Durham. I think there's maybe four or five now.
This area here,
South Caro, over on 23B, which at that time was 23, I mean, you can still see falling down buildings and old shamrock signs of where there was Irish bars or bed and breakfast. At one time, now if you're coming up here, you go to East Durham. At one time when you were coming up here, the Irish were coming up, they started in Leeds. And maybe
Leeds.
A mile outside Leeds, they found a place, and they continued on, they found places.
Well, Leeds is a good example. It held on to three of its restaurants, and it added a new one. And it's a restaurant from some people who had a food truck in Hudson, and they decided to move to Leeds and open a much larger restaurant that almost looks like a kind of a redone classic diner.
Yeah.
There's a new coffee shop in Leeds too.
Yeah.
Nobody's been to that new coffee shop.
And the
place is opening Catskill. I mean, it's bumpy, but I have faith. Cairo could use the next hit. If they could get a restaurant that could survive, you know, that could do days, maybe do an early dinner, I think that would be a boon.
The pizza joint expanded recently to Angel's.
They moved across the street.
A little down, Mexico, And I think they're getting a liquor license, so they may have margaritas soon.
There you go. And that place actually looks pretty well built. It looks good from outside.
Yeah, and they're good folks.
I order from them in East Durham sometimes.
We need a few more.
They've got the East Durham location too, right?
Yeah, we need a few more energetic people like him around.
Yeah.
He opened up the old Hansel and Gretel's in East Durham, which was a landmark, I guess you could call it. Hansel and Gretel were there forever, and then they closed down. somebody who was hearing.
Which was right across the parking lot from Angels, right? The Hansel and Gretel.
No, he took over the Hansel and Gretel's in East Durham.
Yeah,
he's in the building.
So they're connected by a wall. Okay.
Yeah. So at that time, Hansel and Gretel were there forever. Then it closed down. Then somebody else took over. It lasted about a year, and then it was closed again. And he took it over, and now it's booming.
I mean, you know.
And then he took over the one here on 23. It used to be. There was another.
I can't remember what it used to be. Yeah.
The new one, the new Angels. Yeah. That's red.
Yeah.
It used to be like a steak restaurant. Like
it was it was owned by Irish people, and they went out of business maybe 4 or 5 years. So it sat there for some time, and now he has taken it over. But they're very nice people. They're very hardworking, and they're successful. They're doing very well in East Durham, and now they're doing well there. To know that it's not 80 degrees. I don't know what the temperature is, but I would imagine it might be sweater weather again.
I think we need our plants to start growing. We need sunshine for that.
Yeah.
I think I'm done with the
everybody
the
said
rainy days.
The plants are
behind, right?
Behind because of all the rain. Tom, how are you?
Tony, how you doing?
Tom Callanan. Do you know what? You're on the radio right now, Tom.
Oh, wait. See you later, Tom.
That scares them away. There's a line here at Dalton's Donuts in Cairo where we're here until 11. If you want to stop by and have yourself an Irish tea or a three-berry muffin, or what did you have, Jason?
I usually have a coffee until I settle in, and then I do a English muffin with a local sausage, egg, and cheese.
That was Tom Callanan from Clare in Ireland, who we were just talking to a second ago, and he's here. Lined up. Tom, don't forget to get Irish tea now. So he's here for his morning, whatever.
Constitutional. You're listening to WGXC during our pledge drive. We're asking you to help keep this sort of creative community radio on the air. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate. It's 61 degrees here in Acre now. It's supposed to only get up to 68 today. But tomorrow it'll be back to 83 degrees and 89 on Sunday with the sun out. So 89, we're back to the heat. It's the only hot day, supposedly, in the next 10 days or something.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully that changes. It always does.
Summer. You have a favorite swimming hole out in Oak Hill?
I have some friends who live just beyond the road for the Blackthorn on the 145, and off their edge of their property, they have a really nice hole that's, you know, just by property line, semi-private. So they let me go up there. And then if you're gonna, you can fish and swim behind the East Durham Saloon. There's fish access parking plus a really wide swimming hole, and they've kind of moved some rocks. I don't know who the bay is. What I do, you should never tell, because that's supposedly illegal. And they've kind of dammed it off a little bit, so the pool's a bit deeper.
Wasn't there a controversy last year about trash and they're closing down some East Durham swimming hole?
I don't know about trash. Good morning.
Good morning.
But the one off the bridge, off of next to the East Durham City Hall and the substation for the police, if you cross that bridge going north to the 145, there are some local people who petition the town to close the swimming hole down to swimming, and actually it's only made for to fish, but they still swim in it because it's technically in front of their property. So
it looks like Tony's roped somebody else in here.
What's going on?
Yeah, I saw my friend online lining up for coffee. Jason, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Tony?
Tell us a little bit about who you are and your connections with Kero.
Oh, well, I was born and raised here.
You're the one person that was born and raised and is still
born
here?
Born and raised right here.
Wow, they told me there was one person who was born and raised and is
still here. And I'm still here.
Good for you, man.
I won't go away.
Oh, good for you.
I think some people might want me to go away, but I don't go away.
Okay, so now you're a local businessman.
Yes, I am. I have Watts Oil.
Yeah.
And I have a local hog farm.
A hog farm, too?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
What's the name of the
so
hog
we can
farm?
Have fresh...
The hog
fresh
farm's on Rockmere Farm. My dad and I had it since I was a kid, and I keep it going.
Right. So how big an industry, how big a business is that for you?
The hog farm is probably a third of my income.
Wow.
You know, the town's not a very big town, so you've got to supplement your income one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's got to hustle.
You know, you can't just make a buck doing one thing.
No.
Most people around here got 2-3 jobs, you know.
At least.
So how many hogs would you have on your farm? Average?
I have about 11 sows.
Wow. Yeah.
And 2 boars.
Right.
And I get 2.5 litters a year out of each sow.
Right.
And they're anywhere between 8 to 16
right.
each time.
Selling them locally?
Most of them are still locally, but unfortunately right now the town is trying to act as the Board of Health. And they're trying to shut me down. It's been farmland for 200 years.
Right.
And the town of Kero is actually trying to shut it down.
You're the farm next to the Ostrander
non-recusal
issue that was in the paper this week?
He won't recuse himself from the board, and he wants to vote
Doug
on it.
Doug Ostrander, who is your neighbor, who has started this issue with you and your pig farm, and he's on the board, and he won't recuse himself from the vote.
What, does he want your land?
Yeah, he sued me privately, and now he's coming to try. Now he's trying to use his power as a board. They've made a law. The town board has made a law that was specifically pointed towards me, and then they couldn't do anything. And their town officials, Stacy Sprague, and the code enforcement came out and told them his farm is legal. Everything about it's nice. Cornell Cooperative Extension's been there. Said that they had a paper bag over top of his head. He couldn't tell you what kind of farm he was on, and he just doesn't like the fact that there's pigs there. And I'm sorry, but it's farmland, and he knew it was farmland before he bought that land.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what happens, you know.
How long did it take him to get to the board after buying?
Well, he's been on the board, and he went on the board for reason. You know, he wanted the zoning to go through, and that affected a lot of people in the town. And you know, and I'll be quite honest, now I'm running for town, wanting to be a town official, because
yeah,
they told me if you don't like what's going on, then you need to do it yourself.
Sure.
So I'm going to give it a chance in this 26th Republican caucus is on June 26th. And,
is this your announcement of...
It's my announcement. Yes. First time ever trying to be a politician besides a hog farmer and an oil man.
So what's the next steps with the court case?
Well,
is it going to hold off for a minute?
Well, the court case is postponed right now. I got my sound agricultural practice, and the town of Caro will be Monday, and I'm really not sure what's going to happen. He's asked to recuse himself, but
it seems like he should, but they got an opinion from Robert Friedman, the Committee of Open Government, who said the law was unclear about whether he should recuse
himself. Yes,
he can
sit there if he would like. It may not be ethical, but he can sit there and...
It's completely unethical.
It seems like someone should recuse himself if they're the neighbor on an issue.
Especially with a lawsuit with monetary value coming towards them, one way or the other.
Yeah, it's a conflict of interest.
He has a lawsuit as well as not just being a neighbor, saying. So,
yes.
So that's two reasons to recuse, it seems like. There's a long story in the Daily Mail this week that explains all this if you're listening at home and wondering more about this. So what did you think of the story in the paper? Did it get it right?
I thought the paper was very fair. It couldn't be any more fair. You know, they listened to my side and they listened to his side. And, I was down at a town board meeting. Normally I go to every town board meeting and I don't see anybody there. And this time, everybody come in, all of his friends. And I felt like I was in a locker room full of bullies. I was like, holy cow. And it was the first time a board had asked the room to be cleared because they were out of control.
And I've seen some out-of-control Caro town board meetings before. So this
but have you
crazy.
Ever seen any get asked to clear the room?
No, I have not.
And then the police arrive?
It must have really been crazy.
Yeah, and then the police are requested to be at this next town board meeting. So.
Wow. And who are his droogies, his hooligans? Are
I don't really know him. I mean, Robert Snyder is our board.
Are these old Caro families?
You know what? I didn't recognize some of them. Some of them were. Some of them was like the old principal of the school was there. I didn't recognize a lot of them, except for the ones that were actually in the lawsuit against me and their family members.
And how do you think the town supervisor, Dan Benoit, handled this? He seemed in the story to... It seemed like he implied that he should recuse himself, but he didn't like take a firm stand or something.
It's up to Doug whether he wants to recuse himself, and Dan Joyce too. I mean, they both openly spoke against my farm. You know, Dan put it in the paper and in the letter in the editor about it. He's already got an opinion made. You shouldn't be making judgment on somebody if you already got an opinion. So, Dan, as far as I'm concerned, I think he handled it as best as he possibly can. I think Mary Jo Cords handled it very well. She asked to have facts and findings. What are the facts and findings? And the town has done tests. They've done water samples. They've done perk tests and everything. So
what is their argument?
Argument is it smells.
It smells?
It smells.
But nothing sanitary or health issue.
No, there's no health issues there. The manure gets trucked off site. It gets trucked off site.
You sell the manure?
No, I don't sell it. I actually use it personally and put it. I use it on my own farmland. But it gets trucked off site purposely, so nothing happens to any wells and. And we grow grass in pens that we don't use, so you call them drying them out. You dry them out. And
is there a possibility that a lawyer could find in your favor an angle? Looking at this, is that this is a historical site, and to preserve it as a farm, considering it goes back 200 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a farm, and this is four generations here now of farms. So, I mean, it's a goat farm too, and that's one of their things is they say, why aren't they near the goats? Well, then you go to religion. You know, you can't have a goat and a pig next to each other
and sell them
because they can't be an eye shot. But I do have an attorney involved.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have to. I didn't really have a choice.
Keep us posted.
When I got served papers, I really didn't have a choice to go get an attorney, you know? It tied me up. Take all my retirement.
Jesus.
It seems like this is how Caro works. Every two or three years, there's a big kerfuffle like this where... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This same scenario is just replayed with different...
Yes, it's because I spoke avidly out against the zoning because you know, family-owned business, and we couldn't expand our shop more than 50% of what I already had. Most people got a two-car garage that's bigger than what I had to work out of. I was like, you're forcing me away from my land. I mean, I meet all setbacks and everything, but because it's...
You'd have to move to a new location?
I would have to move to a new location.
If you wanted to expand.
Yes.
Why?
But since then,
they would have to close the old location and rezone it?
And no, I would have had to, but since then, they have...
Changed this rule.
They've changed the rules since then. But I spoke very against zoning because of that main reason.
So this was one of the changes they made in the...
In the
redoing,
new revised new version.
They just redid the zoning after spending several years doing it in the first place and getting a lot of complaints about it being overly regulated.
Yeah, it's just, you know what, I just feel it's really too much government. And I think they're really, the government, I mean, you got to stop somewhere. You know, my house is bought and paid for, but I'm renting it from the government, I feel like, all the time, and I got to ask permission to put something there. I don't feel that that should be necessary. I mean, I'm not in an association or a development. If you want to live like that, go to Sleepy Hollow. There's places you can live like that, you know?
Then you get private lake access, too.
Oh, yeah, you get everything then, right? But you don't have the view of the beautiful mountains.
No. It's got a view of each other's houses.
Yes, you can look in the back door and, you know.
We've been asking, since we've both mostly been talking to business people in Cairo today, is there something that Cairo could do to help the start more businesses here? Or help your business?
Oh, you know what? Unfortunately, town of Cairo is in the middle of Greene County. And there's not much it could do. We don't have waterfront. We don't have the ski slopes. We don't have anything, and everything seems to funnel back here. And I talk to people. The heroin epidemic around this town is absolutely horrible.
Well, that's a start right there.
I mean,
so you can get
rid of some of that.
People around, and they can get people with jobs that can buy stuff.
I ask people to work, and they can only work so many hours in a day because they don't want to lose their publicist. And I'm just like, all right, give me somebody else.
This is especially from the restaurants, we hear over and over again, they can't hire people. They want to hire people, but they can't find.
They cannot find anybody.
Back of the house especially. Kitchen guy worked 3 weeks and disappeared.
Yes.
What I find here in Cairo is that for young boys, the young men, growing up young men, what is there for them? There's nothing. I mean, the girls can at least come work in Slater's or in the donut place. But the boys tend not to go towards jobs like that, or McDonald's even.
I'll tell you right now, I always ask for somebody to come out of high school and come approach me. If you don't think you're going to feel like you're going to go to college, I never went to college, and I consider myself a pretty smart man. And you don't need to go to college to come and work in a field like I do with the oil burners and stuff like that. One day, working on a computer is going to be like working at McDonald's. Everybody wants to do it. People that work with their hands, there's not going to be many of them people left. Not many people are willing to walk in with dirty fingernails and dirty hands. They want their nice, pretty white shoes and their nice hoodies and everything else and walk around. And that's, you know what? That's not what America is going to grow on. America grew on people walking on steel and working.
As fuel goes up, it's going to take more general ingenuity to maintain your house. You're going to have to learn how to cut corners. Not cut corners. You're going to have to learn how to save money in new ways the endless fuel is going to eventually slow down.
It's going to eventually.
So you're going to have to, like, you know, you have to know how to use nails, you know? Maybe have a few animals.
You know, I mean, I look at some kids, I get them to come work, and they've never drove a lawnmower. But New York State says I can't put a guy on an engine until they're 18 years old.
Yeah.
Well, when I was 10, I was on a tractor driving a hay wagon around. I'm still here. I'm doing fine. You know? There shouldn't be a big deal with this. You know?
But still, as I said, there's very little opportunity for young men here.
There's not much, no. I mean, because there's no... it's a seasonal town.
Yeah.
They get work on the mountain.
You know, it's seasonal.
But then you
got the resorts, which are changing over to the religious places now because it's dying down. People would rather get on a plane and go to Orlando and go to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. But even the resorts, what do they hire during the summer? Maids to make the beds.
The resorts that are here are great resorts. I frequent them quite a bit, and they're thriving. The ones that are left here,
right.
And they were the ones that expanded with the times. They've changed. They
adapt.
Put stuff in for children to work with. The playgrounds, slides in their pools, and they're reasonably priced.
Right.
I mean, there's Glenbrook Farm and like Sunny Hill and Glens Falls House. For less than $600, you get three meals a day and a roof, and a roof, and you're in someplace different. That's not a bad deal for an adult. And then the prices change as you are a kid.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's you can't go away for that.
Yeah.
To come out of the city and do it, have a family of four, a trip to,
but
Walt Disney World would be thousands of dollars for somebody to plan. I mean, that's hard.
But still, many of
the only ones that can do that are the ones that get that huge income tax at the end of the year, and they're rich for a few days, and they go and do that, and I look at them and go, man, how do they do that, and I can't do that?
Yeah.
I work too hard, I think.
But still, I don't think they... I don't think they publicize the area enough. I don't think they publicize the area enough. They're all talking about it's really a tourist area, but they're still not promoting it.
Well, there's nothing here anymore. There's no more game farm. What is there here? There's nothing planned for the town park in Caro. No balloon festival. No apple festival. There's nothing planned here this year.
Really?
There's not doing the apple festival?
I don't believe so. I mean, don't quote me on it. I could be wrong, but
look it up.
There's no balloon festival. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a farmer's market in the town of county farm?
I mean, the closest one they tried to do at the Milk Run parking lot all the way out where I live in Oak Hill.
Well, they should.
And it should have been where the 32 and the 23 meet.
Well, they tried to do something in front of the courthouse in Carroll. There's no parking. Why don't they put it down in the county farm where there's a roof over and a pavilion over their heads and they can do something? I don't know.
We're here at the Donut Place, Dalton's Donuts in Caro, Radio Station WGXE.
And I got to go pay for my gas guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They're waiting for me to pay my gas.
And what's the name of your pig farm again?
What's that?
What's the name of your pig farm again?
It's Rockmere Farm. Okay. Bruce Watson Sons.
All right. We're all going to stay aware. And if you're out there
we'll be
in Caro.
Watching for the next Caro Town Board meeting.
Which is Monday night at 6:30.
If you have a side to stand up for, you should come out.
One way or the other. I'd like to hear it all.
Cool.
Thank you.
You better be careful. They might take your car away.
I know.
Thanks for talking to
me. Right on. Thank you.
And you're listening to WGXC live from Dalton's Donuts in Caro. And again, it's our pledge drive. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate. 518-697-7400 is the number to call. Looks like we have a next contestant on Price is Right.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea when I went over to talk to Jason that we would have such a heated discussion over something, because he didn't want to come on, and I pretty much dragged him over here. I'm glad I did now. He certainly added to the thing. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. My name's Deborah.
Talking to the microphone.
Hello, Deborah, yes.
Hi. I'm talking to the microphone. There we go.
I can turn you up a little. Closer. Our last person in that had a very booming voice, so I can turn you up.
Yeah, sir.
He was excited by the end there. Yes. What do you have to tell us today?
Well, I have to tell you that I did hear some of the discussion about Caro. It has improved greatly, which I'm happy. We moved up here in 1992, and I've seen such improvement. It's amazing. The town's cleaned up. There's more businesses. Yeah, there could be more, but anyhow, I'm president of the Peacemakers of Caro. We're a quilting and sewing group, and we're going to have a quilt show August 12th. We did have it at the Caro Public.
You were at the library, but you've moved recently to where?
Yes, the Freehold Firehouse Community Center.
Because things got so big, you overgrew the library?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What exactly happens at the...
It's a quilt and sewing exhibit. We have a vendor. We have a fabric vendor that comes. We have some raffles. We do have a raffle quilt for the public library in town.
Nice.
And the group originally started in 1992, and that was one of the purposes to start the group, to have a raffle quilt for the library to raise money.
This was the old library. Was it in the town hall at that point?
Yeah. We used to meet in the courtroom sometimes, and sometimes in the library, in the children's room. But then we went to the new library. But we do meet there once a month, second Wednesday, 7 o'clock. But at the quilt show, we have demonstrations, we have raffles. But the main thing is to come and see the wonderful work that the women do. It's amazing, the talent.
All local
Local. We have some from Columbia County. We have some that live up in Durham. You know, different areas around. But, you know, that's where we meet, and we have the quilt show. But we did take it out of Cairo this year, and I'm very sad to say we had to do that. We looked around for other buildings that might be suitable, and we could not find anything big enough for our purposes.
Where did you end up?
Freehold Firehouse Community Center.
All right, yeah.
And if people are interested in joining, give us some information about how they can get involved.
Okay, you can go to the library the second Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. in the community room.
So you still meet in the library?
We still do meet in the library.
You do? Okay.
We do have a sit and sew at the Acre Community Center, because right now the programs for the library on Saturdays are mostly for children in the summertime. So we meet in Acre and we sit and sew. But it's Saturday, August 12th, 10 to 4 at the Freehold Firehouse Community Center. And you have to come and see the work that the ladies do. Some quilts are for sale. We have a member boutique where we sell a lot of their handiwork. We sell notions involved with sewing and quilting. But it's just a nice show to go to, and, you know, good family fun. And, you know, all the proceeds from our raffle quilt go to the library, every single penny. We're very adamant, but we do a lot of charity work also.
No, that's what you're here for.
So you know, I'm sure you're familiar that radio station WGXE has a community bulletin board.
Yes.
Or of events. Do you contribute to that?
We have a publicity gal. She will put something in about that, about the quilt show.
So, you know, you go on the internet and you put in the information, and Tom and other people at the radio station then read it, and if there's no libelous things in it.
No.
They put it on, and and then when we're on the air, we announce it. You know.
Right. It's good.
So tell us about the quilts themselves. What do people, do they do patterns, or are they...
Some people follow patterns. Some people do original designs, and they do various techniques. We have some art quilters where they'll do smaller pieces to place on the wall, and that's pretty creative. We have some traditional quilters. They use traditional patterns. But there's anything and everything involved with quilting there, different techniques and styles. And it's interesting because different people favor different colors or different types of patterns. So,
there's a great range of expression.
Yes, exactly.
Are there any patchwork quilters there? I always like patchwork.
Well, quilting is kind of patchwork.
No matter what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of, but unless you get into the art quilts, you know, where they go on the walls, and then they're a little more creative. Some people do, like, pictures. You know, they'll do pictures in fabric and things like that. But if anybody wants to join, we meet at the library second Wednesday of the month, or they can contact me, Deborah, at 518-622-2270. We don't have a website. We're not on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. I haven't got time for that. There's too many good things in life to do than to go on Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
But,
thank you.
Yeah.
How do you, then, what, at the firehouse, how do you, and the freehold, how do you visit there? That's basically the showroom?
Yes. Yes.
The show is August 12th, then, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And what time is that, August 12th?
10 to 4.
At the freehold.
August 12th, 10 to 4.
Yes, and it's only a hop, skip, and jump up Route 32 from the intersection of 23 and 32 North.
And then will that continue to house work after the main show?
Pardon me?
Will that continue to house the quilts
No.
After the show?
No.
So it's you're using it for over the weekend?
Yes. The quilt show is one day. We set up on Friday, and that's it.
Yeah.
The show
Freehold
is Saturday.
It's like between the 81 and 145 off the 67. Is the firehouse right there on the 67?
It's at the intersection, right in Freehold, across from Tip Top Furniture.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. But it's very creative.
The Freehold Pub, but on the other side.
Yes, yes. And there's a few nice places when people visit. They can eat. There's a lot of gals that come up from other guilds in the area, from Ulster County, Schoharie County, you know, Delaware County. They come up and they visit.
I like that they're still called guilds.
Yes, they're called guilds, yes. But we do a lot of charity work, and I have to say the girls are wonderful about that. We've made quilts, pillowcases for the veterans. Right now we're working on pillowcases for the Patriot flight.
Oh, wow.
And we've contacted Frank out of Albany, and we have to make 55 pillowcases. They're going to come down in September. They're going to do a presentation at our meeting in September. And they will take these pillowcases, put them in a goodie bag for each veteran, and this flight goes down to Washington, D.C. And I believe they have two or three flights per year. So, yeah, they call them honor flights, patriot flights. But we've done work for children. We make quilts for the pediatric oncology unit at Albany Med. Every year at the youth fair, we have a table. We have plain and simple blocks that children can come and color, and they color happy messages, you know, words of encouragement for these sick children up in Albany. And that's every year. I believe it's July 28th we're doing it. This year we'll be there all day from 9 to 4. And then after the children color the blocks, we put them together into small quilts for children that have treatments up in Albany. And that's what we do. We've donated so much, and so much of the ladies' time and material, and it's just a good thing.
Well,
it gives
that,
you
that seems
feeling.
Like a lot of the time you're putting into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes in life you just need a warm blanket to make you feel better.
You do. You actually do.
Now, you early on you said you moved up. Where did you move up from?
I used to live in New Paltz.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I used to live in New Paltz.
Were you involved?
Changed guilds?
Actually, I didn't belong to a guild in New Paltz. I didn't join a guild until I moved up here. Marion Farenkopf was the founder of this group, and she wanted to promote the art of quilting and to have a fundraiser for the library via the raffle quilt. And we do that every year. But, yeah. So that's...
Did I cut you off there, Tony?
I beg your pardon?
Did I cut you off?
No.
Well, we're all big fans of the library here, so thank you for helping out our local library.
Uh-oh, I see.
Always.
I see two troopers coming in here.
They're coming to take you away, Tony?
Did we do anything wrong?
I hope they're not coming for me.
Two troopers coming in here.
Maybe they want some quilts. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they want some Irish tea when they heard they have Irish tea.
But anyhow, it's at the Freehold Firehouse Community Center, August 12th.
August 12th.
10 to 4. Okay.
Second Wednesday of the month at the Carroll Library.
Yes.
If you'd like to get involved and meet some of your quilters.
Yes.
Did you mention the time at the Carroll Library?
Usually it's 7 p.m. Sometimes we start at 6 p.m. if we have workshops or we have sewing that we're going to do, or if we have longer business to take care of, things like that. But
The troopers went by us. We're okay.
They're just here for coffee.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
And I've always wondered, with the arts in these areas, has there ever been, let's say, like, because there's a lot of potters up here, if you know about that. Has it ever been any cross-pollination to do events where there is both, you know, potters showing off pottery, teaching pottery, and people showing quilts and teaching quilting at the same time?
Well, we would love to do that, but it's, you know, we wanted to keep things in Cairo, and it's kind of hard, like I said, to find a big enough venue to do that. But that's a good idea. Maybe someday we can team up with other artisans and do that. That would be a good thing. You know, because we're all artists, but it's a lot of fun and creativity.
Yeah. I suggest if you're ever over in Freehold, visit Frank. Don't remember his last name, but he and his wife own Rubies. And he is a very well-known potter from the city,
yes.
And also a sculptor. And He kind of has a little bit of a school thing going on and does some out teaching during the summer. And it's just like it's another, you know, there's little dots of us up here trying to do things. And I think the more we're connected, the better it is for everybody.
You're talking about Frank.
Yeah, you know Frank?
I took... Actually, when
class?
I worked up at the school, we made a udu drum.
Okay, yeah, he's also into the drum.
And I still have that, so yeah I'm kind of familiar with him.
He's a ceramicist by trade, I think, at first. And since you're going to be in the area, I'm setting up, you know.
Yeah,
I think they're open Thursday through Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Generally, so you could catch him there. He's usually kind of like hanging out by the bar, just schmoozing.
Yeah.
You never know.
No, you don't, but it would be a nice thing in Cairo or surrounding area to do like a big artisans fair, maybe, you know?
All the arts and crafts people.
Yeah, maybe we can, you know, collaborate something. And
yeah, my lady's a potter as well. She's, and there's another one in my town who's a ceramicist, so.
Good.
It's just, you know, things are little pockets. They're not all coming from the city, too. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. It's very creative, and it's good for the soul when you're creative. Definitely.
And our station is ever ready to support any of these artistic movements. So please actually get online and get the bulletin out there, and we'll let everybody know about it.
And I have to tell you that quilters make quilts for various purposes. Weddings, christenings, baptisms, even funerals. I had a quilt that I made for my father when he passed away. He was buried with that quilt. I also bury, I have to say, this is a little off the wall, but I bury my cats with my quilts because I feel that... But quilters make quilts for various purposes. For example, 9/11, there was a project going out of New York City with Drunel Levinson, and I participated in that. And it was to make a quilt... In memorial for...
It traveled around, didn't it, afterwards? Or
yes, it did. Yes, it did. It traveled around the United States. It went to Yokohama, Japan in 2002. And I had a quilt that went to Japan. She only selected so many. And it was quite an honor. But making that quilt was very difficult. Very, very difficult. Knowing what it was for.
Yeah.
You know,
there was a famous AIDS quilt, too, that traveled around, I think.
Yes. Earlier. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that too. But they do have some quilts down at the 9/11 Memorial Museum in New York City. Mm-hmm. And mine is in the collection. They haven't exhibited it yet, but at some point they will, and they will notify me. And I hope they do it in my lifetime, that I can get down there. But quilters do make quilts for various reasons. You know,
you
mourning.
Is there something symbolic in the way a quilt is made that lends itself to these...
Sometimes there is in a quilt. It'll either be the fabric or images, whatever, you know, things like that in a quilt. It depends. It depends on what the quilter decides to do. But,
Have you been in contact with the Irish Arts Organization that runs that one-week event in East Durham during the summer? Maybe they might be interested in you displaying some of your quilts there, because... As you know, Irish women have always been sewing things together out of necessity.
Yeah.
You know, making quilts and shawls and all those things back in Ireland.
Yeah.
So you might contact them, because I don't remember if they have any event such as that, but they do have all these Irish arts that they're teaching children and adults to sew or knit or whatever.
Right. We did participate years ago in that. There were demonstrations, and like you said, we taught people how to quilt. There is Celtic quilting. You know, some people do that, that style of quilting. But
they might be very interested in you having something there.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
we will.
Because there's a concert there over in the Michael J. Quill field every night for a whole week, starting at 8 o'clock until 10:30 or 11. And they have people there selling T-shirts and Kiss Me, I'm Irish, and so on. So maybe they might be interested in you having a display there.
Yeah, we'll look into that. You can give me some contact information after this is all done with.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Deborah. And again, we'll remind people the second Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. at the Cairo Library, the regular meetings.
Yes.
And August 12th.
Yep.
From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.?
10 to 4.
at the Freehold Community Center.
Yep, right in the center of lovely Freehold.
The Freehold Community Center?
Freehold Firehouse Community Center. It's right next to the firehouse.
Cool.
Yeah.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys, too.
Yeah,
thanks for coming.
Take care. Okay. And we're here from Dalton's Donuts today for a few more minutes, another 15 minutes, with whoever Tony is going to flag over here next.
Well, we have the big man over here coming out.
And you can call and make a donation at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Oh, here's a card.
Great.
From Deborah. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay.
And anybody wants to make a quilt, remember to go out there. Up.
We're here trying to raise money for Radio Station WGXE and to talk to the community. And we have somebody sat in the hot seat who knows a little bit more about donuts than we do. And pellets, do I understand? Good morning.
Donuts and pellets?
How you doing?
That's a combination.
Donuts, pellets, snacks, on a hotline. There's a Subway inside. Buy packaged goods, jalapeno poppers, gasoline. I'm a one-stop smart shop.
Yep, that's what I try to be.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Again, how you doing?
So who are we speaking with? This is
Justin Slater.
Yeah, this is Justin. I think you're running the whole show here, are you?
Yep. Everything's on my plate.
Yeah. So
Tony is enjoying his Irish tea, and I'm enjoying my three berry muffin right now.
Okay.
And I had my coffee earlier. I'm flying.
So anyway, you started out this whole idea of the donuts, and now it's flying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what goes into making a donut. I'm sure people out there may want to know.
Didn't you guys rope your old baker from when your family was running the Hannaford?
Yep. I took on my old deli bakery manager, and we had a consultant that was a deli bakery specialist for a whole chain of Great Americans back then.
Yeah.
And they both helped me train a bunch of my employees, and we're making the same old donuts we used to. A little bit different, but pretty close to the same ingredients. And
so everything is, all the baking is done here on the premises?
Yep, except for the bagels. We actually resell lots of bagels out of Saugerties.
Right.
Those are always the bagels we used to use, even in our grocery store. And our hard rolls I'm actually not making. I'm getting them from somebody else, but
okay.
Everything else in here is all mine.
All the pastries.
All the donuts, pastries, muffins, croissants, everything's ours.
Okay.
Yep.
How has this changed your life in that, how much sleep are you getting now? How many hours a day does this take?
I've been working 100-hour weeks.
100-hour weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the advantage of being a boss, right?
Oh, yeah.
You get to work 100 hours a week.
Yeah, what time do you open here?
We open at 5 a.m. and we close at midnight. But we're going to be going 24/7 soon.
You are?
Yeah.
Starting when?
Pretty soon. I'm actually trying to get my drive-thru open. I'm going to go 24 the same time I want the drive-thru.
For the Dalton's Donuts part?
Everything's going to be.
Everything.
Subway, too.
Yep. You'll be like at Subway at 2 o'clock in the morning. Or
wow.
Breakfast sandwich and coffee. Yeah,
keep them on the road.
Is there any place in Greene County that's open?
They are across the street.
They are across the street?
Yeah, but you won't get anything as fresh.
Right. The gas station across the street.
There's a couple
gas stations, but there's no other, like...
You can't go get any freshly made food anywhere, no.
I mean, Walmart is open 24 hours. That's the only other place I can think of, really, that's open 24 hours.
Yeah. Even Home Depot doesn't open 24 hours a day up here. And they're open many places 24 hours a day.
You might be able to get a car wash, the automated car wash, at 2 in the morning.
You get all your work done, get a car wash, and come in and get a Subway and a donut and a...
Yep.
So now you're going to... Are you expanding the menu?
Yes, we'll be expanding the menu. I actually want to focus more on some midday and evening.
So right now it's breakfast from the
evening? Right now it's pretty much breakfast. But
all day?
It's all day, any day. Yeah, it's full breakfast menu, but I still have like, I don't have any steak on the menu yet. That's coming. We're going to do a little bit more stuff with chicken. And some more heartier.
Day sandwiches, afternoon.
Yeah, we're going to get some more heartier stuff on there, but for now we're just trying to tackle the basics.
Yeah.
And then, yep.
So do you have anything other than the breakfast now? Or strictly breakfast food right
it's,
now?
Yeah. It's pretty much strictly breakfast food.
Right.
But it's got the Daddy Dalton sandwich.
Up at the top in the convenience store, is there more varied things available there now? Or just ice cream?
Just ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, up front. As far as food service, yeah. Right. I mean, I get full service ice cream up there, and then the Subway, and then we did have some stuff that we were doing up there, like the chicken tenders and fries. And
but that's no more.
No, that's I'm going to reintroduce that over here.
Right, okay.
So now I got a full kitchen over here.
I did think that you were selling.
And that's what, I had all that stuff up there, but I had to make room for my drive-thru. So right. That's a big thing. I'm actually making my whole convenience store drive-thru. Where you'll be able to pull up and get a gallon of milk, loaf of bread, not just the typical Dunkin' drive-thru. It's going to be a drive-thru convenience store, pretty much, combined with Dalton's.
Right.
So you can pull up and order a coffee, a breakfast sandwich, a gallon of milk, loaf of bread, pack of cigarettes. A few things I can't do. Beer's actually not legal in New York.
They can't cross the window?
Yep. Beer's one thing I can't do, and there's a couple other things I'm going to
You can't exclude. Do it on the drive-thru?
Nope. Yeah.
Beer, fireworks.
Yep. Lottery and ice cream won't be available. Lottery, ice cream, and Subway won't be available through the drive-thru, but everything else is...
Ice cream.
Yep. Ice cream, I was just worried about it congesting lines. If you got a car that pulls up and wants 5 ice cream sundaes, I don't want the guy waiting for a cup of coffee waiting for 5 ice creams to get made. And it is a very seasonal part of my business, so I don't want to lose my year around
more,
customers.
You can choose a little bit.
You don't have to have like little league teams come and so it's better to like they go on the picnic tables and you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Good luck on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, it'd make a big change to Kara that you can get food in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How do you feel about Old Kara Main Street and this intersection, which doesn't look like a main street, but there is that fear from people who are still trying to revive downtown or Main Street area that inevitably it's going to move up here.
There's probably some truth to that.
I think it's already moved. Yeah. It's more energy here than perhaps, Tony, you're down the street. You'd say there's more energy up here, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the traffic's here. Carroll made a big mistake back when they put the bypass in. They literally let the state bypass Carroll by doing that.
You're talking about this, the 32?
Route 23?
Yeah. This used to be Route 23.
Route 23, from... Coming from Catskill to
every car from Catskill would have passed by this door, but
because
now,
this is how the old route used to
this
go.
This old Route 23B is Main Street, and so anybody who's traveling 23 west or east would actually pass right through
and then jump
right
back
Main Street
onto how it looks right under where ACRA starts.
Well, I'm curious about that. I mean, that's going back a few years, but did the citizens of Cairo fight at that time to make sure the 23 went through, or they just...
It was before I was born.
I know,
I
understand
that,
yeah.
But,
can't really comment.
They obviously didn't fight enough back then, or there was people that didn't have the insight to know that it was going to...
That it was going to happen.
It was kind of the thing that was going on at the time. I mean, in the big cities, the highways did the same thing.
There's always proponents of stuff, and there's always two sides of every story.
Yeah,
I doubt everybody was for it, and I doubt everybody was against it. But
some people probably looked at it as a safety issue.
I can understand
being a thoroughfare, so they're shooting themselves in the foot by trying to protect their kids. From getting hit by.
But
cars.
I saw this happen in Ireland. There was a town that they were bypassing, and they had already bought the land to put the bypass the town. And this man was very famous in sports. When in his younger days, he was a great athlete, and he was recognized in the community as the de facto leader of the organization. And he fought it like crazy. And he just kept going at it. And at it. And in the end, they changed it. And they widened the streets a little bit. The sidewalks are now very narrow. But the traffic still goes through that town. And that town has grown from a sleepy little town 50 years ago to an extremely busy town now. And all the businesses in town are booming. And my sister was living in the town. And she had a little house. And there was five different businessmen bidding to buy the house off her to turn it into a business. She bought the house for practically nothing, and probably in the end, well, you should see the house she bought with the money she got for that tiny little thing because of all the demand there was for it.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't fought that time, it would be exactly the same as Cairo. That land is still sitting there, and there's no road on it, and the town is prospering. So I often wondered about Cairo. You know?
We need a tenacious Irish athlete to come help us fight.
Yeah.
For Cairo.
Yeah.
So,
we're here this morning.
Keep your eyes out at the arts festival.
In Cairo.
At Dalton's Donuts.
At Dunkin' Donuts. Dalton's Donuts. And we're trying to raise money for Radio Station WGXC, our annual fundraiser. And we got a couple of nice donations here this morning, and that helped pay some bills. So, sure, Radio Station WGXC, we appreciate you having us here and giving us this nice corner where nobody could throw us out the window or anything.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's attack from behind.
What is the most popular donut that you sell?
Bavarian cream.
Bavarian cream? I'm surprised.
Describe the Bavarian cream.
It's pretty much... like a Boston cream.
Yeah.
The cream's a little bit different, but it's still it's a regular shell donut filled with the cream and topped with the chocolate icing. That's number one.
And most popular sandwich?
Oh, the Big Daddy. Full of meat.
It's
the
Big Daddy?
What's the Big Daddy? What's it called? What's the full name of the Big Daddy?
Dalton's Big Daddy.
Yeah. Which essentially would be Your sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's loaded with every meat and three eggs and a hash brown on any choice of bread.
Yeah. I recommend it on a bagel, just because it will house all the massive amounts of food you get.
Yep.
One of the new ones you got to get here is an Irish breakfast, you know? Egg, sausage, bacon, ham.
He's having a full Irish? He's trying to get a full Irish on the menu.
He has to have some whiskey,
some
too.
Some French fries and coffee.
Yep.
The whole thing.
Yeah, get some bangers.
I never went for the Irish breakfast, but I can still see it on the plate and the smell. Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else coming up that you should tell us? We're running out of time. We've got 3 minutes left.
I had a question about cheeses. Are there going to be there's cheddar and Swiss coming?
Yes.
Okay.
Cheddar, Swiss, provolone, mozzarella.
That's good.
Yeah, we're going to be adding a lot more stuff, a lot more donuts, too. I'm going to be doing a lot more local donuts, local ingredients. Like, I'm going to make a donut with fresh strawberries, an actual cake donut, kind of almost like a strawberry shortcake donut. We're going to be doing apple cider donuts with that local apple cider.
Cool.
Pumpkin spice donuts with local pumpkins. And
fall comes, nice.
Yep, and all of our eggs are actually made with local eggs.
Green County is like the... donut capital of New York or something. You got Gracie's over in Catskill. You got the what's the place? Twin Peaks up on the
mountain.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're healthy.
we get it in when we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing like a good morning ritual. So, which if you've ever been here and you haven't come yet, the line explodes around 9:30.
It's been busy all morning.
It's busy.
Yep. Come back on Saturday or Sunday.
By the way,
really?
don't forget to tell us about your program on Radio Station WGXC.
Oh, yeah, I'm an actual... This is a cameo visit. I'm another DJ on the station. My show is Mondays 11 to 12. It's called Night Moves with Black Ice Coffee.
We've got a minute left. Tony's got the Irish show on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights from 8 to 10 with all the typical Irish music that you hear on radio stations out here in America. Interviews sometimes and always sports results. Every Sunday I got all the sports results from Ireland, and there's people listening to it, and we may be 50, 60, 70 years away from Ireland, but we still have one foot back there when it comes to the sports. Men and women all love the Irish sports. So Sunday 8 to 10 at night. And Tom,
that's just about it. We're going to be taking off in a minute. Justin, thank you so much for letting us set up here.